We're doing Pirkei Avot. We're up to the second chapter, the 13th Mishnah. Perek Bet, Mishnah Yud Gimel, in the Mosad Rav Kook editions of the Rambam, with the Rambam's commentary on Pirkei Avot. And we had seen that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai had five disciples. And he pointed out the strengths of each one and the weaknesses of each one. The strengths of each one. What they advocated as far as how one strengthens oneself. And these disciples, each one taught three things. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, his disciple Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanos, he said the following. Yehi chivot chavercha chaviv alecha keshelach. Your friend's honor should be beloved upon you as your own honor. Keshelach, like your own. Keshelcha, okay. Ve'alti noach lichos, and don't be a person who is easy to anger. Ve'shuv yom echad lifnei mitatcha, and return, repent one day before you die. Ve'eve mitchamem keneged uran shel chachamim. Warm yourself next to the flame, the fire, the coal of the sages. Ve'eve zeir megachaltan, but be careful from their coal. Shema tichave, lest you get burnt. Shen shichatan neshichat shual, their bite is like the bite of a fox. Vakitzatan akitzat akrav, and their sting is like the sting of a scorpion. Velchishatan, and their whisper, lechishat saraf, is like the whisper of a snake. Vechol divrehem kegachalei esh, and all their words are like flaming coals. So the question is, how do we break up? Yeah. How do we break up what he said into three things? He said he's going to say three things. So he says, your friend's honor should be beloved upon you like your own. Don't be easy to anger. And repent one day before you die. That would seem like three things. Then he adds, and warm yourself up next to the fire of the sages, but be careful of their coal. So we have to think, we have to verify which two are really one. I mean, it seems like he said four things. And we introduced it by saying they're each going to say three things. So the Rambam tells us, "Alti noach lichos," don't be a person who's easy to anger. Says the Rambam, "Al te'ated et atzmecha lerogez velekas." A person should not direct himself in a path that's going to lead him to anger. A person shouldn't be a forecast for anger. And our sages have already went very far with regard to deriding anger. Our sages went to the point that they said, anyone who angers, it's as though he's serving idol worship. And our sages aligned this למה שנאמר לא יהיה בך אל זר ולא תשתחווה לאל נכר. To that which the verse says, you shouldn't have a foreign god within you, you shouldn't bow to a foreign god. כלומר, as if to say, ששני הדברים שווים. Our sages seem to indicate that the two are equal. So Chazal taught us, don't have a foreign god within you, a person who lets anger control him, so something else is controlling him. That's like having a foreign god within him. V'shuv yom echad lifnei mitatcha. Chazal said, repent one day before you die. V'hu eino yodea matay yamut. The person doesn't know when he's going to die. V'nimtzu kol yamav b'tshuva. So this is indicating his whole day, all his days should be with repentance. The person should always think, maybe tomorrow I'm going to die. So point number one is don't anger easily. Point number two is repent the day before you die, meaning spend your days in repentance. A person shouldn't have confidence, well, I'll repent in the future, but rather, maybe tomorrow I'm dying, so I better repent today. Aval omro, but that which Rabbi Eliezer said, ve've mitchamim keneged uran shel chachamim, heat yourself next to the flame of the sages, eino midvarav asher edrich bahem, this is not one of his teachings that he was directing us with them, אלא ממה ששמע מזולתו ואמרו. But it's rather something that he heard from others and was quoting. ולפיכך לא נמנע מכלל דבריו. So it's not counted as one of the three things he taught. He taught the first three things. Your friend's honor should be beloved upon you like your own. Don't be easy to anger. And repent one day before you die. Those are the three things he taught. The continuation of the Mishnah, he's quoting things that he heard from others. And what he meant in giving this directive, Shehu omer lecha, he's telling you, Im nitchabart lechachamim v'anshei ha'malot, if you've merited to connect yourself with wise people, people of elevated status, people who are pious, Al tinag bekalut livnehim. Don't be lightheaded before them. You've come close to someone who's big, so be careful not to be light before them. Don't take them lightly. Don't be too familiar, too friendly with them. Don't get close to them beyond the proper amount. Don't treat them buddy-buddy. But rather your closeness to them, v'gishatcha aleihem, and your access to them should be adeichan sheyekavucha, to the point that they draw you near. V'tamod bigvul asher yamiducha bo, and stand the limit of where they place you. Don't assume friendliness beyond where you are. Don't be over friendly. They're warm to you, you be warm with them as far as they take you. And don't proceed in coming close to them beyond where they've brought you, so you shouldn't lose what they think of you, and their love for you will turn to hatred. And then you won't gain what you thought to gain from them. And he compared this to Lemi Shemitchamim Be'ish, to a person who's warming himself by the fire. Asherim Yeshev B'merchak Mesuyam Mimena, that so long as he sits at a certain distance from the fire, Ne'ene Bechoma, he could enjoy its heat, V'nishtamesh Be'ora, and use its light. V'im Lo Shamar Atzmo, but if a person doesn't wash himself, V'osif Li'itkarev La, and he proceeds to come closer to the fire, Nichvei gets burnt. And then the advantageous aspects of the fire turn to be harmful to him. And this is what the Tana said using an allegory. Warm yourself near the flame of the sages, but be careful of their coals. And he continued, and he tried to make us have fear with regard to this, to take it seriously. The Amar, and he said, "Al tachshov, don't think shim yishchu otam otcha bilshonam, tachzov v'terame otam bedvarim v'yitramu." Don't think that if they bite you, then you'll be able to seduce them, to con them, and they'll be conned. Ela einam mekablim lachash kmo she'en asaraf mekablo. They won't accept a whisper, just like the snake doesn't accept a hiss. The snake isn't willing to listen to those who whisper to it. Take a look at what happened with Gehazi and his Rebbe. His Rebbe, Elisha, was willing to put up with a lot of things that were improper about Gehazi. And then Gehazi went one step too far. Elisha said, "We're not taking any pay from Naaman, the chief general of Aram. We've cured him from Tzaras, and that was our job. We're not accepting any pay." And Gehazi decided, "What do you mean? He's offering us money. We're going to let go." So when his Rebbe wasn't looking, he ran after Naaman and he said, "My master changed his mind. Students just came and they need help. If you could give us the financial assistance you offered, we'll give it to the students." And Naaman gives him a bunch of gifts. And then Gehazi takes it for himself. And he switched. He said something in the name of Elisha that Elisha never said. And Elisha curses him. And Naaman thinks he'll be able to trick Elisha. And when Elisha sees him, Elisha tells him, "All the tzaras that was by Naaman is going to be with you and your offsprings for generations." And when Elisha finishes talking, Naaman is white as alabaster, white as snow, and he has tzaras. That's it. He's finished. He's never going to walk near Elisha again. He has to be distance from all of the Jewish people. So that's Gehazi. Gehazi, yeah. What did I say? When Gehazi came back to Elisha, so Elisha cursed him, and Gehazi got tzaras. And oh, sorry, I meant Gehazi. So Gehazi was distanced from Elisha. He could never come back to his Rebbe again. The Yeshua HaNotzri im Rabbo Yeshua ben Prachya. And another example that the Rambam gives is the example of Yeshu, that his Rebbe Yeshua ben Prachya distanced him. So this example needs explanation. Chazal, it seems like Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya was ready to take him back. The story was they were in an inn, and Rabbi Yeshua and Yeshu were sitting at an inn, and the innkeeper brought them to eat. And Yeshu said, "Look at what beautiful eyes she has." And Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya said, "How could you notice that she has beautiful eyes? You look at girls? Get away from me. What do you mean?" And he distanced Yeshu. And Yeshu realized that he was in error. And he came back and apologized, and he tried again. And Rabbi Yeshua wouldn't look at him. And finally he came back one time, and Rabbi Yeshua was ready to accept him back, but he was in the middle of saying Shema. And then he figured, okay, it's over. He's not accepting me back. If I've tried this much, it's over. And that's when he went and he left the fold. And he did what he did. So the Rambam over here seems to have a different take on that story. The Rambam says, because of what he did, as far as Rabbi Shimon ben Prachya was concerned, it was over. So that needs explanation. Well, I don't know what the Rambam means. I don't know what the Rambam means by giving that example. Okay, Mishnah, you've done it. Yeah. Oh, Sanhedrin. That's what the Ramban says, yeah. Nachmanides says that this Yeshu that we're talking about has nothing to do with the Yeshu they're talking about. Right. Yudalim. Rabbi Yeshua Omer. So the next disciple of what? According to the Ramban, there were at least two, yeah. Rabbi Yeshua Omer. So the next disciple of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. And Rabbi Yeshua says the following: Ayin ra'a, a bad eye; v'yetzer ra'a, and bad desire; v'sinat ha'briyot, and hatred for God's creatures; motzi'in et ha'adam min ha'olam, they cause a person to exit the world. They cause a person to leave this world. Says the Rambam. Amar, what Rabbi Yeshua said was ki alehitut lemamun, when a person is he's chasing after money, v'atav tanut, and he's chasing after material things, desires, v'ra'ot ha'nefesh, and things that are bad for the soul, v'hu mimachalot ha'mara ha'shchora, these are from the illnesses that come from the gallbladder, gorem la'adam leta'ev re'iyat mino. Huh? What are you asking? The gallbladder. Mara shchora is the bitter mara, which is the gallbladder. That's the little green piece that's hanging on the liver. It's very bitter. On the liver. You have the liver, that's all red. And hanging on the liver is the gallbladder. It's a little green sac, which does its functions.
What does it do?
It's, what? Chazal, could you live without it? I don't remember what it says. You can't live without a liver. Could you live without a gallbladder?
Yeah,
okay.
Oh, no. Appreciate it. Yeah. It was going to explode. And you can live without a liver.
Chazal said, so long as you have a kazayas where the gallbladder is attached, a person can live. If that, an animal at least, could live with that much liver left. Okay. So this causes a person to be disgusted when he sees people of his own species and to hate them. Really, a human being should be able to look at someone else, at another human being, and look fondly upon them. But if his focus is on his own desires, so then competition causes one to look badly upon his fellow men. Veninochat ruho bibdidut, and a person feels good being alone. Uvishchenat amidbarot v'ayarim umkumot ha-shomimim. He's happy living in the desert, in the forest, places that are desolate. He's happy living alone because he's focused on what's good for me. And what's good for me, I want to make more money, I want to get more material things. So that could lead a person to the extreme that he has no interest in having anything to do with other people. Undoubtedly, these things lead a person to be lost. When a person has a bad eye, he doesn't want other people to have. He has bad desires. So the Rambam seems to learn that these are an evolvement. It begins with a person's desire. He's focused on the material and then he's focused on himself. And that leads him to be embittered, not to want others to have, because he only wants himself to have. And that leads him from one thing to the next, till it leads him to lead a hermit's life. That's what the Rambam seems to be learning. Let's try to get one more mission in, because we're nearing the end of the chapter. Are we going to make a run for it and finish the chapter? Or we'll pause here? What's the vote? Huh? David? Okay. Sorry, you're overrided. Rav Yossi Omer. Mishnah Tesvav. So the next disciples, Rav Yossi HaKohen was a chassid. Yim amon chavecha chaviv alecha kishelach. Your friend's money should be fond upon you like your own money. So that means obviously you're not going to let his money get lost. You're not going to say, well, what do I care if his field's going to be swamped? You're going to think twice about his money as though it were your own. Hatken atzmecha lilmod Torah, Rabbi Yossi says, prepare yourself to learn Torah, she'inai rushalach. It's not inherited. You can't just say, well, I was born Jewish, so I know Torah, I'm okay. No, it doesn't come in an inheritance. Your father was a rabbi, that means nothing about you. V'chol masecha yu l'shem shamayim, and all your actions should be for the sake of heavens. Says the Rambam, k'val be'anu b'perek ha-shmini inyan achana. In the 8th chapter, we've already explained the concept of preparation, that there are certain things that a person is predisposed to, but a person has to prepare himself, and the fact that he doesn't have a predisposition in a certain direction is no excuse. Some people have a greater predisposition for learning Torah and others do not. So what? Prepare yourself. So a person has to focus himself, he has to prepare himself so that he gets elevated. And in the fifth chapter of our introduction, we've explained in Yanom Ro that which the Mishnah says, "V'chol masecha yud shem shamayim." All your actions should be for the sake of heaven. Mishnah Tet Zayin. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon was the next disciple. He said, "Evezeu b'kriyat shema v'tfila. Be careful when you read Shema and pray. Uchshata mitpalel, and when you pray, al tas tfilat hakeva. Your prayer should not be like a set ordinance. I must pray now." But rather, prayer should be you're begging before the omnipresent, blessed be He. Good question. So, keva, I guess, has multiple meanings. Keva means set. So, don't make the prayer like it's a set rule. I have to pray now. Well, it is similar. Right, but it is similar. Meaning, don't look at it as something set. You're right, there's a set time they're davening in shul. But don't look at it as set. Meaning, in essence, it is set. You have to come to shul at a certain time. But you don't make it from your perspective as set. When we say make your learning set, we're saying set times to learn. Now when we're saying don't make your prayer set, we're saying don't treat it as set. Really, it is set. You're right. But don't treat it as that. Why is it opposite meanings? We're saying make your Torah set. Have set times that you learn Torah. That should be set in your life. Don't make your prayer set. Don't make it that your prayer will be with set times. Really, it will be. But that shouldn't be your attitude to it. It's the same set. As the Pasuk says, Shenemar kichanun v'rachum hu, that God is compassionate. So treat him, beg him as one, as you would beg before one who is compassionate. Ve'al tirasha b'fnei atzmecha, and in your own eyes, don't view yourself as wicked. That's a very important point. Who does? Many people do. One of the things I get all the time is people call me up and they say, usually the girls call and say, he doesn't know how bad I am. He doesn't deserve me. He deserves someone better. Maybe I should fill him in on how bad I am. I get this all the time. Mishnah Tezayin. Guys don't have that problem as much. What? Spoken like a true male. Yeah. Okay, I hear.
Usually the people call you
Hashem. What?
The people who call you, usually you are Hashem.
I don't think so, but they're definitely in doubt. They're not sure if he really understood. Does he really know how angry I can get, how impatient I can be, how much I spend, all kinds of things. So, says the Rambam, Im yachshov ha'adam et atzmo rasha, if a person thinks himself to be wicked, then any sin that he does will seem light. It won't be weighty. He'll say, yeah, I'm wicked anyways. That's one of the worst things you could do. When a parent tells his child, you're wicked, so then what does the kid think? Well, okay, so what are you so upset when I did this? I'm wicked, so I did one more thing. So the key is first to have a positive outlook when one thinks of oneself. And that's a very important point in Chinuch. It's important with regard to ourselves. We discussed it in the Ntivot Shalom, that sometimes the way to contend with the Yetzer Hara is that a person says, I am me. You know who I am? I'm this important Jew. I learn Torah, I keep mitzvot, and I'm precious before Hashem. I can't do this sin. One of the ways that we're knocked down is when we start thinking, who am I kidding? I didn't wake up on time for Minyan yesterday. I didn't focus when I davened. And I know my history. Once upon a time, I didn't eat kosher. Once upon a time, I didn't even know that you're supposed to keep Shabbos. So what? So today, I'll be a little lackadaisical. So today, I won't be so serious in keeping mitzvot. No, says the Rambam. Al ti rasha bifnei atzmecha. That's what the Mishnah was teaching us. Don't view yourself as wicked. Remember, no. Look at where I came from. So I contended with all those difficulties. It's not my fault. I was born to this environment. I overcame it, and this is where I got. Look at the positive. B'kval b'yamnu, and we've already explained, says the Rambam, kinyan keva, that when the Mishnah tells us a set, the word set means shetichbad atfila alav, that the prayer is weighty upon him, v'yachshovota, and he considers it, k'mishe kafu alav melacha la'sota v'linafesh mimena. Like someone's forcing him to do a job, and he wishes he could take a break from it. So the question is, what's our attitude to prayer? If you think, I could talk to God, He'll help me out, let me set my case before Him. So that's one attitude to prayer. That's the attitude we're supposed to have. The Mishnah is saying, don't adopt an attitude like, oy vey, I got to do this now. Mishnah Yudzayin. And we're almost finished with the parak. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar, who's the next disciple, he said, "Ave shaked lilmod." You put yourself out, learn what to answer a person who's an apostate. Know before whom it is that you're toiling, and who is the master of your work. Says the Rambam, Amar, Rabbi Elazar told us, learn things that with these things you'll be able to respond to those who are deniers from the nations, v'titvakach itam, and you'll be able to argue with them, v'taneh lehem imi shalucha, and you'll be able to respond to them if they question you. V'amru, lo shanu ala apikores goy. Our sages say this was a reference specifically to an apostate who is not Jewish. This is a very important point. Aval apikores Israel, but a Jew who's an apostate, if he's coming with claims, don't answer. Kol sheken depakar. Chazal told us, all the more so, he will delve deeper into his denial, into his being an apostate. Kilomal, so to speak. If you try to explain to him what the Torah says and why it's right, you're never going to win. Shu mosif zilzulu ubizui. He will only add in his deriding and derogatory comments. Oh, it's a good question. We're talking about an apikores. That's a specific type of person. That's a person who knows and decides he doesn't buy it and decides it's all fake. So a person like that, we're not nikarev. We're mekarev a person who doesn't know. We're mekarev a person who doesn't know better. A guy was born on a kibbutz, he never heard of tefillin. He doesn't know what it means to be Jewish. So he's growing up here in Israel and he has no clue. So we say, come, we'll teach you. A guy says, I know, and I think it's all nonsense, it's all a farce. He has his opinions. Fine, go. We're not going to fight with you. Ulefichach en roi litvakech im oklal, therefore there's no... No. No. Yeah, I mean, Dasan and Aviram, they knew. They stood at Sinai. They saw it, and they decided they're going against it. People can see prophecy and become apikorsim. People can see miracles before their eyes. It's a person's choice. We always have that choice. God, even when He does miracles, leaves us the choice. Are we going to recognize it or not? We're always going to have b'chira chofshit. The Jewish people after Sinai could still go and serve an idol, right? They still go and serve a golden calf. That's the greatest proof for Bechira Chofshit. They didn't become automatons, they didn't become robots. God revealed Himself, they all saw prophecy, clear as day, and a few days later they're serving idols. What does that show us? There's always room for interpretation. There's always room to say, well, this isn't really an idol, this is a representative. God, when God said you shouldn't have other gods other than me, well, these are whatever. At the end of the day, there's always b'chira chofshit. So a person can know everything and still go the wrong way, and that's his choice.
You could argue that they're making their statements from other Jews that it could be swayed by it.
We don't necessarily argue with them. We might answer their claims not to them. Like it says in the Agoda. Lefichach, what does it say? Rosh Amah Omer, Ma Avodah Zos Lachem. What you guys doing? Why are you working so hard? Vapata Keyachinav, you sour his teeth and give a response. Ilu Hayasham, if he'd be there, he wouldn't be part of the redemption. We're not talking to him, we're talking to the other people. When a person's coming and deriding everything, we don't answer them. You know, and you've decided you don't buy into it, fine, go your own way. We're not going to argue with you. We will prevent you from pulling people, other people down with you. But you can't go clean up after him. But he came to your Seder and he's arguing with you. He comes when you're doing the Korban Pesach and he says, that's what the Pasuk says. Your child's going to come while you're doing the Korban Pesach, the Ribbono Shel Olam tells the Jewish people, and he's going to say, what's this labor? What you guys working so hard for? So what are we supposed to answer? We don't answer him. We tell the other kids. You should know, people like that stayed in Egypt. They didn't leave. Yeah.
Another
thing,
another
Kitzmer,
in Masechet Sukkah, when the woman comes into the Shiva, so claiming her stolen wood back, he also tells the crowd that she is not.
Okay. Therefore, says the Rambam, "In roi litvakach im oklal." It's not fitting to argue with him at all. That's when we learn there. "In roi litvakach im oklal." It's not fitting to argue with him at all. Lefi sheino mitachev ein lo rifuah klal. He's never going to reunite. There's no cure for him. Kol ba'ea lo yishuvun ve lo yasigu ochot chayim. Shlomo Amelech said, once people enter that path, they're not coming back. They're not going to attain the way of life. It's very hard to climb back out. It's much easier once you've gone down the hill. So life's a breeze. Why should I keep Shabbos? If you never knew what Shabbos was about, so then a person's open to learning. But if a person knew and he kept, and then he decides, not for me. So it's much easier. Life seems sweet on the other side. And then Shlomo Amar says, the odds are against the person's coming back. V'amar, ואף על פי שאתה לומד דעות העמים כדי שתדע איך להשיב עליהם, the Tana said, Rabbi Elazar said, even though you're learning the philosophies of the nations to know how to respond to them, היזהר, be careful שלא ייכנס בלבך שום דבר מזה, that none of this should enter your heart, ודע, and know, כי אשר אתה עובד לפניו, the one who you're serving before him, יודע סודותיך, he knows your secrets, והוא אומרו, and that's why he concluded the Mishnah by telling us, Vidalif ne miatamel, know before whom you're toiling. So if you're going to learn it, you're going to be Eisha Torah, Jews for Judaism. And you're going to have to contend with all of this. He says, be careful. It might enter one's heart. That's why I'm always scared of entering these things. When guys tell me they have questions, if I could, I send them elsewhere. Who said I'm going to have the answer? You don't always have the answer the first moment. You don't always have it the first year. Sometimes it takes years to discover the answers. So on one end, a person might reach a point where he does have to learn how to answer that apikorsan. Chazal tell us that there were rabbis who knew and there were rabbis who didn't know. When Rabbi Yeshua was lying on his deathbed, so a student said, who's going to know how to answer all the apostates? He said, don't worry. If we won't have who to answer, they won't have claims. God keeps a balance in the world. So long as I was here and I had answers, so they knew to ask the questions. If you won't have someone to give them answers, then they won't have such great questions. God will maintain the balance in the world. But we see that his students weren't out there learning how to answer them. The average rabbi did not spend his time learning, like Rabbi Elazar said, how do I answer the apikoros? So this is a tricky subject. Anyone who thinks he's going to adopt this Mishnah has to consult with his rabbi how to do it properly. Mishnah Yudches, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Rabbi Tarfon Tod, Hayom Katzer, the day is short, V'amlacham Ruva, and the work is great, V'apoalim Atzelim, and the workers are lazy. But the wages are great. And the owner of the house, he's pressured, he's pushing. Guys, get the job done. Zeu mashal, says the Rambam. This is an allegory al kotzachay adam, about the fact that our lives are short. Ve'rov alimud, and there's so much to learn. Ve'atzlut bnei adam bedrishato, and our laziness when it comes to seeking out learning Torah. People don't take advantage of the minutes. Alaf ribuy asachar shalav, even though there are great wages for learning Torah. And even though the Torah commands and demands that we seek out wisdom and learn Torah, the Torah tells us again and again, learn. And yet, we're lazy. Do we carry a sefer with us to the bus stop? Maybe we'll catch a few minutes to learn. Do we take advantage of the minutes we could listen on an MP3 player while we walk? Do we take advantage and get a chavrusa for the times when there aren't shiurim, when we can take advantage of the learning? Someone once asked Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul, that's how the story goes, how come Rav Ovadia became chief rabbi of Israel and you had your yeshiva but you never got there? So he said, the difference between us, we used to learn chavrusa while we were eating the meals. One of us would eat and the other one would read a Mishnah, and then the other one would eat and he would read. We'd have a chavrusa while we were eating so that we could continue learning while we were eating. When I'd come down for the meal, so I'd take my butter smeared on my bread. He'd come down, he'd take a piece of butter, put it on the bread, fold it and eat it. He said, that's the difference. So the Mishnah says, look, the day is short, how long is our life? The work is great, so much Torah to learn. And we're all lazy. The wages are great. Hashem promises great wages if we do our job. And Hashem pushes. He tells us over and over again in the Torah, learn. But we're lazy. Mishnah Yotes, and with this we get to finish the second chapter. Hu haya omer, he used to say, Rabbi Tarfon used to say, lo alecha kol amnacha ligmo. You're not responsible to conclude all of the work. Ve'lo ata ben chorin libatel, but you're not free to stop working. Aval im namata Torah arbe, but if you do learn a lot of Torah, notnim lecha sachar arbe, they'll give you a lot of wages. Ve'ne'emanu ba'al melachtecha, and the boss is faithful, sheyishalem lechaschar pulatcha, that'll pay you your wages for your work. V'dan, you should know, shematan scharan shel tzadikim, that the wages of the righteous latid lavo is in the future. Says the Rambam, klomar leolam haba, as if to say in the world to come. V'kvar dibarnu b'inyan olam haba, and we've already explained this concept of olam haba, we've expanded on it, in the 10th chapter of Sanhedrin, that which is fitting to mention in such a short, abridged version, our short explanation on the Mishnah, we expanded as much as we could. And for those of you who weren't here, which is most of you, we did this during Bein HaZmanim a year and a half ago, and it's online. You could hear the introduction to the 10th chapter of Sanhedrin, where the Rambam explains all this, what is Olam Haba. But you guys are going to be disappointed. His explanation, at the end of the day, it's not so clear. You read his whole explanation and it's still not so clear. What is this world to come? So The last Mishnah we saw today was, on the one hand, we're not responsible to finish it. You could learn and learn and learn. You're never going to finish. But you have to know, you got to do your job. You can't just take a break and say, well, I don't have to do it. I'm never going to finish. If you do a lot, you'll be paid a lot. It's not like you have to hit the finish line. There, I got it. I know all of Shas. I know everything. Now I'll get wages. No, you do a lot of work, so you'll get a lot of wages. And you could have faith. God has wages to pay. He's going to pay your wages. And the wages are in the world to come. But on the one hand, you're never going to finish. You're not responsible to finish. You're responsible to work. And we don't have the capacity. We're not allowed to just say, okay, I'm not doing it. I'm never going to finish. So what do we see today? We saw that these disciples each taught us three things. Rav Lezer said, your friend's honor should be beloved upon you like your own. Don't anger easily and repent the day before you die. And then he warned us to come close to the rabbis, but maintain our distance. Be careful not to come too close. We shouldn't get burnt. Rav Yeshua said, a bad eye, bad desire, and hatred for God's creatures takes a person out of the world. It's an evolvement. He desires the physical. So then he has a bad eye. He doesn't want others to have it. He wants it all for himself. That's the evolvement of the Yetzer Hara, the bad desire, which leads him to hate other creatures. He wants to live alone so he could have it all for himself. Rabbi Yossi said, our friend's money should be beloved upon us like our own, and we should prepare ourselves to learn Torah. We should remember it's not an inheritance. It's not ours just because our forefathers learned it. And all our actions should be for the sake of heaven. Rabbi Shimon taught us to be careful with reading Shema and with davening, and that our davening shouldn't be like a set thing that I have to do, but should be like we're begging, we're talking to a merciful, to the merciful, omnipotent, omnipresent one. And he ended with that important point that a person should never view himself as being a wicked person. That leads a person down. Mishnah Yedzayin, Rabbi Elazar taught us that a person should take time and put an effort to know what to answer the apostates, and he should know that God knows what he's doing, and he knows what's in his inner heart, so he shouldn't allow himself to enter the realm of doubt because of these studies. Rabbi Tarfon, we had two Mishnayot. The first Mishnah said, the day is short, the work is great, we're all lazy, but there's great wages, and the owner's is pressing. So that's a reference to learning Torah. We have to take advantage of the time. And he concluded by telling us, it's not our responsibility to hit a finish line. We have to keep working. We're not free to take breaks, to just say, well, this year I'm not learning Torah. No, throughout our life we have to learn Torah, even though we know it's not like we'll ever encompass all of the Torah. It's beyond our capacity, but we got to do as much as we can. And the more we do, so we can have faith that we will get paid back in the world to come. This is Rabbi Tarfon. What Rabbi Shimon? That's Rabbi Shimon ben Netanel.